This morning we are beginning an occasional series on the subject of the Joseph story. This morning we read Genesis chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land of the sojournings of his father in the land of Canaan. These are the births of Jacob. Joseph, a son of 17 years, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. And he was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's women. And Joseph brought their evil report to their father. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, for he was a son of old age to him, and he made him a tunic of various colors. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him, and were not able to speak to him for peace. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they added yet to hate him. And he said to them, "Hear, I pray, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were sheaving sheaves in the midst of the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and also stood up. And behold, your sheaves came around and bowed down themselves to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Reigning, shalt thou reign over us? Or ruling, shalt thou rule over us?" And they hated him still more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed yet a dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down themselves to me." And he recounted it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Coming shall I and thy mother and thy brothers come to bow down to thee to the earth?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the word. And his brothers went to feed the flock of their father in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Do not thy brothers feed the flock in Shechem? Go, and I will send thee to them." And he said to him, "Behold me." And he said to him, "Go, I pray, see the peace of thy brothers and the peace of the flock, and return with word." And he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him, and behold, he was straying in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brothers. Tell me, I pray, where they are feeding the flock." And the man said, "They have journeyed from this place, for I heard them saying, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And they saw him from afar off. And before he came near to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. And they said a man to his brother, "Behold, this master of dreams comes. Go now, and therefore let us kill him and cast him into one of the pits, and we will say, 'An evil wild beast has devoured him,' and we shall see what his dreams will be." And Reuben heard and rescued him out of their hand and said, "Let us not smite him, the soul." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but lay no hand upon him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to return him to their father." And it was when Joseph was come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of various colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and saw, and behold, a traveling band of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing aromas and balm and stacte, going to bring them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What gain is it if we kill our brother and cover his blood? Go and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers hearkened to him. and there passed by Midianite men trading, and they drew and brought Joseph up from the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his garments. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The child is not, and I, whither do I come?" And they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat of the goats and dipped the tunic in the blood. And they sent the tunic of various colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Recognize, we pray thee, whether it be thy son's tunic or not." And he recognized it and said, "It is the tunic of my son. A bad wild animal has devoured him. Joseph, being torn, is torn." And Jacob rent his raiment and set sackcloth on his loins and mourned over his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to comfort himself. And he said, "For I shall go down to my son mourning to Sheol." And his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, a chamberlain of Pharaoh, prince of the guards. Amen. And next we read from the Arcana Celestia, number 4733. And this is in regard to Reuben's words, "Let us not smite him, the soul." That this signifies that it must not be extinguished because it is the life of religion, is evident from the signification of smiting as being to extinguish, and from the meaning of soul as being life. Here, the life of religion. That acknowledgement and adoration of the Lord's divine human is the life of religion, is plain from what is said just above. And also from the fact that men are of such a nature as to desire to worship that of which they can have some perception and thought. And sensuous men, even that which they can perceive from some sense. Nor are they willing to worship unless the divine is therein. This is common to the human race. For this reason, Gentiles worship idols in which they believe there is the divine, and others worship men after their death whom they believe to be either gods or saints. For nothing can be called forth in man unless there is something to affect his senses. Those who say that they acknowledge a supreme being of whom they have no idea of perception, for the most part acknowledge no god but nature instead, because they comprehend this nature. Very many of the learned among Christians are such, and this also because they who do not believe the human of the Lord to be divine, that is their belief. Lest therefore men who have removed themselves so far from the divine and have become so far corporeal should worship wooden stones, unless they should worship some man after his death, and thus under him some devil, and not God himself, because they could not in any way perceive him, and thus everything of the church should perish, and with the church the human race, so the divine itself willed to assume the human and to make it divine. Let the learned take heed, therefore, lest they think of the Lord's human and do not at the same time believe it to be divine. For in so doing, they make for themselves a stumbling block and at last believe nothing. Amen. Here end the lessons. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.